Thank you for listening to the Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. We'd love to have you at any of our three campuses. In Columbia, join us at 3506 Broad River Road. If you're in Orangeburg, meet us at 990 Willington Drive. In Florence, join us at 1507 West King Avenue. For more information, including service times, visit rdci.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast. Today's message is Being a Person of Influence by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
One verse of scripture, I'm going to read from two translations, the traditional King James. First, Jeremiah, the 15th chapter and the 19th verse. Starting first at the King James Version, Jeremiah 15 and verse 19, then I'll read it from the New Living Translation. It says, "This is how the Lord responds. Therefore, thus saith the Lord, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me, and if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou to them." Hold that right there for a moment. Now, that's a lot of old English talk that we don't really converse like that today or talk like that today. But this is God's response to Jeremiah crying that his ministry is no longer effective, crying that people aren't listening to him anymore, crying that he doesn't seem like he's being effective. And God said, here's my response to you. He says, first of all, stand before me. He said, take the precious from the vial. He said, well, what he's really saying, he said, you've become too intermingled with the world. Take the precious from the vial. Separate yourself. Consecrate yourself to me. He said, and then thou shalt be as my mouth. He said, what happened? You've become too contaminated with the world. Too contaminated by the culture. Take the precious from the vial. Separate yourself. Separate spiritual from carnal. Separate the anointing from fleshy things. He said, then you'll be in my mouth. Let them return unto thee, but return not thou to them. That's he talking about the cult and the people. You'll see that as we read this now from the New Living Translation. Jeremiah 15, 19. New Living Translation says, this is how the Lord responds. If you return to me, I will restore you so you can continue to serve me. If you speak good words rather than worthless ones, you will be my spokesman. And here's what I want to draw today's lesson from. You must influence them. Do not let them influence you. You must influence them. Do not let them influence you. And I want to start today a teaching entitled A Person of Influence. A Personal of Influence. Influence is the ability to affect others without force or pressure. Okay. Influence is the ability for people to admire you and you don't even know them. People to respond to you and you didn't even know you were talking to them. And there's a concern today that the church, that men and women of God, that Christians are losing our influence. I don't know how many of you regularly read or see our local state paper. The front page, big bold letters says, I meant to bring it this morning, I forgot it. Losing faith. Losing faith. And it showed a church with pews, with about three people and empty pews. And it's talking about across our state how churches are diminishing. More specifically, the traditional churches of, you know, the Southern Baptist, the Presbyterian, the Methodists. How those, and that's, I believe, since something like 2011, 92 churches in those categories have closed down in South Carolina. Now, those of us in our community, we know they ain't counted all of them. Because there's some nobody even knew was open. Y'all know what I'm talking about. So it said, and the paper said that. It said, these are those who we know are or counted among these denominations, the Southern Baptist and some of the Methodist denomination, the Presbyterian, and that 92 of them have closed. And I told Pastor Marcel, I said, you know, that does include a lot of churches that we even know of or don't even know of. And it was talking about how people are losing faith. And the issue that they are saying is that we are living in what they're calling a post-Christian era, which I think that's the problem that they have wrong. Post-Christian era. Now, my generation perhaps is living in a post-Christian era. Post-Christian era means that those of us who were raised in the church who walked away from Christianity, those who were raised in the church and walked away from what we've heard, that's a post-Christian era. You used to believe, you used to be in the church, but you're no longer involved. But many of you millennials, y'all know, folks, this ain't no post-Christian era for them. It's a pre-Christian era. A lot of them never been to church. A lot of them never knew anything about Jesus. So it's not that they walked away, not that they're losing faith, not that they ignore the relationship. Some of them never had a relationship. And so I think for the most part, we need to go back and start thinking like Paul did. Paul stood in Acts on Mars Hill, and he comes and he sees the Greeks, their shrines and their temples and their gods. And he goes around and he says, the scripture says this in Acts, around the 17th chapter, somewhere around there. He said, I perceive that thou art very superstitious, writing on the wall. Very superstitious. Ladder's about to fall. Okay? When you believe in things you don't understand, you suffer. Because superstition ain't the way. Hey. Okay? He said, you're very superstitious. See, y'all got a God for everything. He said, you got a God, this God to this, a God to that. And he said, but I came across and I saw one of your statues, and it says to the you have a statue to the unknown God. He said, can I tell you about the unknown God? He said, he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands. And he doesn't need anything from you. He made the earth and everything that is made. Keep going to verse 25. He said, he's not worshiped with hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and in all things. Keep going. And he's made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and has determined the times before appointed and the bounds of the habitation. He starts talking to them about the God they don't know. And then he goes on and says, it's in him that we live, that we move, and that we have our being. And so Paul started realizing he needs to influence this culture. He needs to influence the culture. We, as Christians today, we can't be defeatists. We can't think it's over. Well, people just walk away from the church. And so, rather than the church continue to expand now, we got pastors buying into all of this stuff you've seen in the paper. Don't build churches anymore. Don't build big churches anymore. Don't plan for this because people aren't coming. Well, first of all, there's new people being born every day. And last I knew, nobody's born a church member. You're born sinners. We're born in sin, we're shaped in iniquity, and then you raise people, and ideally Christians are supposed to raise our children in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord, and then those who are not raised in it, we have to evangelize them. Can I tell y'all, saints of God, those of us who are parents, nobody should have to evangelize our children. Y'all aren't hearing me here now. Nobody should have to evangelize our children. Are you going to be happy? I guess you would be happy. But your child goes off to college, you raise them, and they say, Dad, Mom, while I was in college, I went to this Bible study, and I found out about Jesus. I found out I can be saved. I can be born again. That he loves me. That there's a heaven. That there's a hell. that I can be made righteous, I can be justified. You're going to be happy, but on the other thing, you're going to be saying, now what did I do? Or what didn't I do? Because nobody just evangelized our children. Are y'all hearing me? Now, I didn't always understand that. Because I told y'all, you know, I came out the hood. When I came out the hood, everybody had a ratchet testimony. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Everybody got it. I used to be walking up and down these streets. I used to have needles in my arm, but God saved me. Glory to God. And then, you know, I told about this one sister. She used to get up and testify all the time. You know, I thank the Lord I'm saved now. But there was a time I was sleeping with anybody on this, right up and down this street here. I slept with everybody for about 5 hours. I said, Jesus, Lord. She even told everybody she a $5 person. I had to drink more than the fish. And so I started thinking that everybody had a ratchet testimony. And then when I went to college, I got involved with the Student Christian Fellowship. Happened to be majority white young people. And we were going around one time sharing our testimonies. Well, when did you get saved? When did you get saved? I'll never forget this one young lady. She said, well, I don't remember a time I wasn't saved. She said, I came out of a Christian household and, you know, we just always serve Jesus. I'm like, you ain't saved. There ain't no way you saved. Because you can't be saved unless you have, you know, you drink, smoke, have a whole bunch of sex. You can't be, no. That doesn't have to be our kid's testimony. Are you hearing me? That does not have to be our kid's testimony. And for a long time, I told y'all, I felt like I didn't have a legitimate testimony. Because I didn't even have all that ratchetness in my background. You know, I felt like I didn't have a legitimate testimony. And then I read the scriptures. I think it's in Psalm 91. It says, who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? And I started meditating on that. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction? And I had always saw that as that means God get you were in destruction and God got you out of the destruction. But no, the Lord showed me when he redeemed my life from destruction, he saved me, purchased me, paid a price for me, got me out of it before I ever got into it. He redeemed my life from destruction. The devil would have destroyed my life. But thank God for Jesus. He spared me from ever being there. Come on. See, some of y'all, you didn't get shot while the bullets were flying through the club. But praise God, some of us were never in the club where the shots were being fired. Either way, he redeems our life from destruction. And we have to, as a church, we have to let people know that everybody needs Jesus. Glory to God. I don't care what kind of background you came from, how good you think you've been. I told somebody one time, I said, my only sin throughout my life and teenage years was self-righteousness. Some of y'all can catch that later. Self-righteousness is that you talk about yourself. What you didn't do. I ain't never done this. I ain't never done that. I ain't never. That's you just full of self-righteousness. I don't care what you have or have not done. We all need the blood. And nobody's born righteous. You all got to be born again. And so we have to let everybody know that everybody needs to be born again. So there's a concern today that the church, the men and women of God, that Christians are losing our influence. And some of this, we got to counter legitimately. Because it's been a result of sin in the church. It's been a result of scandals in the church. You know, I discovered something years ago. I just made my mind up. I found out how I can avoid scandal in my life. And it wasn't by hiring Olivia Pope. I found out I can avoid scandal in my life if I don't do anything scandalous. Imagine that. Look, your neighbor said, if you don't do anything scandalous, you won't have a scandal. See, because somebody lying to me, there ain't no scandal. The truth gonna prevail. God gonna defend the righteous. Somebody lying on you, that ain't scandal. So I found I don't have to have scandal. Now, Jesus was a man of influence. And as he is, so are we in this present world. Look at Luke 52. Luke 2:52. And Jesus increased, or he grew, in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and all the people, or the traditional King James said, with God and man. So Jesus grew in wisdom. That's talking about his ability to hear God, to make good decisions. In stature, that's talking about physical growth. And in favor with God and all the people. This favor here is influence. He had influence with God. He had influence with people. His father loved him, and people started loving him. And Jesus increased in that. And Jesus was not going around kissing up the folks to get it. He wasn't going around compromising himself or compromising his standards or not speaking truth. He was being who God created him to be and being a person of integrity. Let me tell you something. You should not have to compromise with people for favor. You shouldn't have to change your hair and do flips and jumps and change the way you talk and all this kind of stuff. Now, you know, I hope this is, okay, I'll try not to mention the name. Okay, but I talk all the time about this noted black spokesperson on television, on the game shows and all that. And I'm just amazed. I'm just amazed that you can mess up the English language so bad and still be the host of everything. You can cuss and split verbs and do it all. But at the end of the day, if you listen to him, he'll even tell you, this ain't nothing but the favor of God. See, because favor puts you, when God gives you influence and God gives you favor, folks gonna scratch their head. Who they know? How did they get that position? How did they get that job? How did they do that? But when God puts influence on you and God puts favor on you, people like you who don't even know why they like you. Doors start opening for you. You get put in places that you don't even know that you're in. You start having people who want to support you, who you didn't even know knew anything about you. The Message translation of that verse says, Jesus matured, growing up in body and spirit, while says, blessed by both God and people. He was blessed by God and people. Remember, I told people, talking about all I need is the Lord. No, your blessing comes from the Lord through people. You got to have influence with people. And God wants us to be people of influence so he can bless us through God and bless us also through people. Jesus had so much influence that the Pharisees got concerned about his influence. Look at John 12. John 12 and verse 19. The Pharisees therefore said among themselves, perceive ye how ye prevail? Nothing we're doing this. Nothing we're doing to stop him is working. Perceive ye how ye prevail? You prevail nothing. Look, we can't stop him. We can't block him. Behold, the world is going after him. The world is going after him. And I think, and I really think they say, the theologians said, geographically, Jesus' ministry probably was no longer than about 50 to 100 square miles. But the way they saw it is, the world is going after him. When God stopped, it looked like everybody's going the right direction. Now everybody ain't going the right direction. One of the reasons why y'all, if you come to corporate prayer, for those of you who don't know, or have come to corporate prayer, you hear us praying for 1% of the general population, the greater population. And maybe we need to increase that now, because I believe we may have reached it. Okay? But I got that because I was at a seminar probably close to 20 years ago. This is going to bless somebody. And the person said, in any field of endeavor, whether you're a barber, you're a landscaper, you're a doctor, you're a lawyer, whether you're a cosmetologist, whether you do manicures and pedicures, whatever, in music, in any field of endeavor, most of the folks you think you're competing against aren't even competing. Most of the people you think you are competing against
aren't even competing. We're setting growth numbers in place. You know, most people, all they want to do, most churches, they just want to have good service today. They just want the Spirit of the Lord to come up in the place. They have no plan for the community, no plan for people. And so most in any field of endeavor, you know, okay, the average person at your job, they just want to check. Come on now. They don't care about the company. They don't care about the company stock. They're not trying to be promoted. They're not concerned about the reputation of their company. We were someplace one time. It was a, I don't know if it was a McDonald's, huh? If it was a McDonald's or something like that. We were somewhere and there was some money left on the counter. I remember saying to the cashier, I said, he left some money there. I said, she said, I don't care. I said, well, that money affects whether you get paid. Honey, you got to see the big picture, baby. Most people aren't even competing. And so, and they say something, if you would believe God, he said, think about all the churches in your city, all the churches. If you would believe God, even for 1% of the population, your church would be a mega church. But most people, they're not setting any kind of goals. So y'all with me here. Most people are not even competing. They're just going through. And so the Pharisee looked at Jesus, they said, my goodness, the world is going after him. Most of the world as we know it now wasn't even discovered or even known yet. But they said the world is going after Jesus. We ought to have so much influence that folks, they ought to start saying, and some of them are doing it, but if you read the headlines, we're becoming less and less effective. Folks ought to feel like, man, those Christians are just going to take over. Christians ought to influence and affect our culture and the world. We're not supposed to just be existing. We're not supposed to be just going to church. Which is why the extreme message of grace, as some are teaching it, my biggest concern about it is that we got salvation thinking now it's just about us. So everybody's about me being happy. Everybody's about, if it makes me feel good. Everybody's thinking if nothing wrong with me doing this. Everybody start thinking, is this not going to keep me out of heaven? You know what I'm talking about. This don't affect my walk with God. This doesn't affect my salvation. As if the only reason why you got saved was just about you. You did not get saved just for you. You got saved to save somebody else. You got saved to affect the world, starting with your own family. So it's not just about you, boo. So the Christians ought to affect the world, affect culture. Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I don't think there's anything wrong with me drinking. I don't think there's anything wrong with me. I have faith that ain't going to affect my... Paul said, fine, you got faith, have it to yourself. Don't use your liberty if it's going to mess somebody else up. Paul said, you got to be concerned about other folks other than you. So Jesus says in Matthew 5, verse 13. Everybody say I. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? He said if salt has lost its flavor, then it's no sense of sprinkling it. It's no sense of trying to use it. Oh, glory to God. It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Let's use the word influence where it says salt, because your salt is influence. Your influence is salt. If you no longer have influence, if the salt has lost its influence, if it's no longer affecting where it is and what it's put on, what good is it? That verse from the Message translation says, let me tell you why you are here. I love that. Let me tell you why you're in the kingdom of God. Let me tell you why God saved you. It is not just so you can get to heaven. Make it in. Walk around heaven all day. Get your two wings. Walk the streets of gold. Sit at the welcome table. Every day going to be Sunday. And Sabbath will have no end. Oh Lord. But when I see Jesus.
Who are you influencing in your everyday life? Are you positively affecting others? Bishop Herbert Bailey will help you to impact those around you and become a person of influence. Order this powerful series today. You can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rightdirection.info. For immediate access, subscribe to Right Direction TV. Ask for being a person of influence. If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations. In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereports@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.